We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed. And how nice to welcome such a warm, friendly audience to this recording of Just a Minute. We hope you're going to enjoy it as you hear our four keen competitors talk for just a minute on some unlikely subject without hesitation and without repetition and without deviating from the subject on the card if they can. And we'll begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. And Derek, the subject is keeping prices down. Everybody's thinking about it and talking about it, and can you talk for 60 seconds without repeating and hesitating and all the rest, starting now?
Well, having been born in Liverpool and spent a lot of my time visiting North Wales, I must say I've always been terribly keen on keeping prices down. I've always had this sort of phobia against the Welsh, particularly the Joneses and the Williamses, who ought to be kept down with the prices. And I do think the thumb of the English will be heavily pressed upon them so they can't come over the border. They ought to present passports. How dare they let people like that fellow over there work in the West End? A Welshman who, I feel, is waving his red flag, that awful dragon.
You have actually been challenged by the Welshman over there.
Oh, I'm not going to sit here and listen to that diatribe. That's a disgrace. And deviation.
Why is it devious?
Because it's nothing to do with keeping the prices down. It was a filthy imputation about my character.
And yes, actually, when he was saying about keeping the prices down along with all the other Welshmen, he wasn't deviating the subject of the card, but once he got on to keeping you down, then he was deviating. And so, Kenneth, I agree with your challenge. So you gain a point for a correct challenge and, of course, the subject, and you have 37 seconds left starting now.
In the Mediterranean Basin, it's fashionable for people to say, I'll give you X amount, not the asking price, and in the process they knock each other down. This is a term used. It doesn't mean physically they actually bash each other. It simply means they offer a price they consider reasonable and the other man bargains with them over this. Now, I think people should do this when they go to British Railway and say, I will.
Well, Kenneth, at the end of that round, you were the only one who scored any points. Peter Jones, will you begin the next round, please? The subject, when I sat down at the piano, starting now.
Well, I've actually given up the piano now, but when I first sat down, I was taught by a tall, well-built lady, charming woman, and she had what at that time was described as an ample bosom. I suppose nowadays you'd say she was about 48. But I sat on my stool. She sat immediately behind me.
Kenneth Williams has judged.
Definition of the word sat.
Yes, there were two sats. You were both sat, and unfortunately you were...
Well, there were two of us, you see.
Yes.
It's on the card, Nick.
But on this...
It's on the card, Nick.
Oh, actually, it's on the card when I sat down at the piano. Oh, what a pity, yes.
So that's the wrong challenge. I get an extra point and go on. Is that right?
No. You get 1 point for a wrong challenge and you keep going and there are 30... Your friends on the opposite side helped you, not...
Yes, well, thank you very much. Yes,
35 seconds on when I sat down at the piano, starting now.
And I used to sit there and I couldn't move my head to right or left without... in the corner of one eye or the other, catching sight of one of these bosoms.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Devious. They couldn't have been bosoms on both sides of him.
I think that's a very good challenge, whichever way he looked. They must, I presume, have both been the same size, so he must have only seen one bosom. I don't think he'd have seen
one two. Or other, yes. They were here. If there's an ample-built lady
Peter,
in the audience,
Peter.
That lady in the fifth row, if you wouldn't mind, we can give a
Peter.
Demonstration.
I'm completely confused now, because when you were talking about the lady's bosoms, you put your hand up to your ears.
Well, that's where they were.
In that case,
she was sitting behind me, leaning forward, and of course I was leaning back.
Why was she sitting behind?
Well, I think the whole thing is got
her hands underneath here trying to show me what to do. And, of course, my 10-year-old mind was not on the music.
I think her bosoms were.
Yes.
I think the whole thing's getting so devious that I think in every respect you deserve to lose the subject. Kenneth gets a point for a correct challenge, and he has 20 seconds left on When I Sat Down at the Piano, starting now.
When I sat down at the piano, I was a complete coward because of the gentleman in the front row who was smoking like a chimney. I thought at the time, how can anyone retain their presence of mind under these circumstances?
Sheila Hancock, a challenge.
I've got a challenge. It isn't when he sat down at the piano, this.
Well, he said when he sat down at the piano.
Well, there's not a piano in the room, and he's talking about the gentleman in the front row. So, therefore, when he sat down in the piano...
Not the gentleman in this front row. I said when I first played the piano. No, the gentleman in the front row there, dear.
Ah.
You had an audience the first time you played.
Of course I did.
But not the second.
Kenneth has justified himself. He has 4 seconds left with the subject. When I sat down at the piano, Kenneth, starting now.
The number that I was supposed to play was Ramona.
Well, Kenneth, you were speaking there when the whistle went. You gained that extra point. You have increased your lead. You've not only jumped into the lead, you've jumped further into the lead. And we're going to hear from you again because we want you to begin the next round. You haven't begun a round yet. The happiest day of my life. When you leapt into the lead, perhaps. I don't know. But anyway, would you talk on the subject starting now?
It's a happy choice indeed that I should be given this to discuss, because it was something I looked forward to with appalling apprehension for 3 miserable years. I lay in an army bed thinking, when will I ever get demobbed? And then it happened in an Aldershot barracks. I got so tired it wasn't true. And stuck two fingers up at NCOs and things, and I didn't give a What happened?
Sheila Hank got challenged, that's what
hesitation,
happened.
Or if it wasn't hesitation, it might have been deviation.
He hesitated in order not to be devious.
In order not to deviate.
I think that's a good challenge, Sheila. And you have 26 seconds on the happiest day of my life starting now.
I find it difficult to say because I've had so many...
Deviation, she finds it difficult to say. Why don't you shut up and give it back to me? I want to go on about when I was demobbed.
I know you do, but it was not a correct challenge because she didn't deviate from the subject. So she has 24 seconds. Seconds on the happiest day of my life, Sheila, starting now.
Every time I thought things were going to be the happiest day of my life, they weren't, because I think if you expect them to be, then they are a failure. For instance...
Deviation. She's not discussing the happiest day of her life. She's discussing the fact that it never comes.
I might have got round to telling you what it was eventually.
We're not interested in what you got round to, dear. You'll get round to a lot of things when you leave this studio. We're not going to be there to hear it, are we?
Well, it's very difficult to think of the happiest day of your life just like that.
Yes, it's quite true.
And actually, I mean, who could look back on all the years I've had and say, what's the happiest day, just like that?
Yes, and of course, the subject on the card is the happiest day of my life, and you were getting round to it, I think.
I might have thought of it eventually.
You might have thought of it. So, Sheila, you have 16 seconds left on the subject starting now.
It wasn't the day I got married because I was covered in acne and very embarrassed about the whole procedure.
She's just discussing what wasn't the happiest day of her life.
Well, I'm sorting it out, you see.
Well, all right, Sheila, I think you've had long enough to sort it out. I'm going to give it to Kenneth this time. Kenneth, you have a point now for a correct challenge with 11 seconds left starting now.
I was given this special demob suit, of which I was extremely proud, and when I got to Waterloo, in my excitement, left it behind. I rushed back to the lost property office and I said, have you seen a...
Although everybody's speaking up well in the programme, from the point of view of winning points, it's becoming a one-man show this week. Kenneth Williams, way out in the lead. Derek Nimmer, will you begin the next round? The subject, this and that. 60 seconds starting now.
This and that is neither here nor there. But I suppose I would really rather talk about that than this. For instance, in this country today, do you know that we're losing 10,000 miles of hedgerow every year due to crop spraying? Isn't this a frightful thing with a consequent loss of flora and fauna? Each 10 years, we lose an area of ground under concrete the size of Hertfordshire. This is a
terrifying prospect, and you all sit here tonight so complacently, gazing at me with bovine expressions, for our countryside has been taken away from us. The birds are no longer flying.
You've
those
been
that
buzzed.
Are.
You've Who's been buzzed
me? Who buzzed me?
No, I'm sorry, you were buzzed.
I was
so carried away with my bovine eyes upon you that, you know, I was so full of emotion and distress at what you were saying. Peter Jones, you challenged a long time.
Well,
I didn't hear you, by the way,
but
you'll like
these remarks about the audience. They may be complacent, I don't know, but they're certainly not sitting there with bovine expressions. I think that's a gratuitous insult to a charming bunch of people who certainly... certainly have been animated while I've been speaking. Though their expressions do change slightly when Nimmo is on.
I think the audience applause shows that whatever decision I made, if it was to go against you, they would not stand for it. So we give you the benefit of the doubt, Peter. Correct challenge, a point and 25 seconds left on this and that starting now.
So I think you should take Nimmo's address and send sixpence to the appeal fund, the address of which I will give you after the program is over. And if you can, do your little bit towards allowing the hedgerows to flourish. Take some seeds in your pocket when you walk a country lane.
So this and that kept Peter going, and he gained the point for speaking when the whistle went, and he has moved into second place, equal with Sheila Hancock, but they are definitely trailing behind our leader, who is still Kenneth Williams. All right, Sheila, will you take the next round, please? And the subject is tales. We've heard plenty of them in this programme over the years, but will you talk on that now for 60 seconds, beginning now?
Most animals have these things. Even the human being has the relic of one, known as the coccyx, which is at the base of your spine.
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Deviation.
No, it's absolutely correct.
True.
She wasn't. That is, she was being perfectly medically correct. And there are 53 seconds left to continue talking about tails. If you haven't got a coccyx, bad luck, Derek. Sheila, tails, 53 seconds, starting now.
After the programme, I will show Derek where it is, because he is very ignorant. There are long ones on animals, I mean. Ones and sleek the others, and some cats like Manxes haven't got any.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Not only a hesitation, it seemed a kind of silent cry for help.
Well answered, Peter. You have a point for your cry, for answering the cry, and you have 43 seconds on tails starting now.
What about those imitation balls of fluff that are worn by bunnies at certain clubs? That seems an extraordinary habit to me. Do any...
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so. Derek, you have the subject now of tails, and there are 23 seconds left starting now.
Well, my favourite one is about the three bears. I like it particularly, and I read it to myself every night before I go to bed. I awfully like the bit when they have their porridge. That always makes me laugh. And when the little chair falls down, and then they go upstairs to bed. Who rang?
He did another one of those hesitations. He said, when the little chair falls down.
Oh, Sheila, you're being pedantic.
Well, not only that, but I don't believe he reads the three bears every night.
Ah, that would have been a correct challenge.
Well, I didn't like to say that because you might ask me to prove it or something.
That I would have upheld, but I can't uphold the other challenge, so Derek keeps the subject. 10 seconds left. Tails, Derek, starting now.
When I go on holiday, I always take with me something called extra tail. Now, this is a little aerosol that you squirt yourself. It's really designed for horses, and it hasn't made me grow one yet, but it does prove there are no flies on me.
I don't know what you were talking about, Derek, but you kept going without a challenge, and you were speaking when the whistle went. You gained an extra point. You're all creeping up on Kenneth, so, Kenneth, watch out, and you'll begin the next round for us. Joan of Arc. 60 seconds starting now.
Well, I think Shaw describes her as the first real nationalist in Europe, and I think that's a fair enough description. She certainly did cause an awful lot of trouble by setting all the French, be it they from Lorraine or Burgundy, to unite and throw out the English, who were under, of course, the Duke of Bedford, and he
Derek Nimmo has challenged. Why?
Deviation. I mean, the Burgundians handed her over to the English, so the Therefore, she didn't call the Burgundians to unite with them.
But to unite with whom?
The English.
Well, she said she caused the Burgundians, all the French, to unite against the English. In fact, when she was taken in Compiègne, she was taken by the Burgundians, who handed her over to the English, and that's why she was burnt. So what I'm saying, what Mr. Williams, I think his name is, said, is rubbish.
My argument, she asked the Burgundians to join and make one united France. The fact that they didn't do so and handed over to the English is neither here nor there. It doesn't invalidate the fact that she asked them.
She asked them, and she endeavoured. She endeavoured to unite the French.
I don't think you can argue on some technical
point
like that.
No, I quite agree.
Just coming from someone who's sworn before all of us that he recites the Three Bears before he goes to bed every night.
Thank you, Peter. I was going to say exactly the same myself. But on a more serious note, I was going to say that Kenneth was endeavouring, under very difficult circumstances, to keep going without hesitation, repetition, or deviation, to say that Joan of Arc did endeavour to unite the French. And that's what she certainly achieved in the end. Joan of Arc is still with you, 60 seconds starting now.
She maintained throughout her trial that she heard the voices giving her instructions, she said. She heard St. Michael.
Craig Nimmer has challenged.
Tradition of her.
Yes, I'm afraid I must be accurate on this one and say you have 37 seconds for Joan of Arc. Derek, starting now.
Well, of course, she started off life as a barmaid, quite a successful one, I believe, and she used to go out into the woods under the oak trees, and that's where she first heard her voices calling to her. And then she reported it back, and then she was taken along eventually to Kenneth Williams, who was terribly impressed by her and thought that perhaps she could save France. And because he liked champagne, she agreed to have Kenneth Williams crowned in Reims.
Peter Jones has challenged.
A repetition of Kenneth Williams.
A very good challenge.
Yeah.
Kenneth Williams was repeated, so, and we can on occasions have too much of Kenneth Williams. You repeat his name, you gain a point, Peter, and 15 seconds on Joan of Arc starting now.
Was actually burned at the stake. What an appalling way to go.
Kenneth
this
Williams.
This is light entertainment. We don't want to be being burned at the stake, I mean. It's disgusting.
Well, I
what's
didn't
your
suggest
chance,
Joan of Arc.
Invalid. It's the whole thing is deviation.
No, is he perfectly correct what he said? So he has a point and 10 seconds on the subject of Joan of Arc, Peter, starting now.
And I dare say other people were as well.
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I did hesitate. He giggled, yes. But all yes, right, you hesitated. Seven seconds on Joan of Arc, Derek, starting now.
And as she was there on this great pile of fire, she picked up two bits of wood, held them together.
Hancock has challenged. Why?
Is it true to say she was on a great pile of fire?
It's not true, but that was the impression that one would gain.
There were all these faggots burning.
And
go on,
if
then.
If you read the Three Bears every night, how else could you describe
exactly.
All the faggots burning?
It does limit your vocabulary, I admit.
3 seconds on Joan of Arc, Derek, starting now.
She picked up these two tarred
Kenneth
bits of
wood. Challenge.
Repetition, he said she picked
it up.
She
picked
before.
Up before, yes. So, Kenneth, you have another point in 2 seconds on Joan of Arc, starting now.
I don't know why they canonised her at all, because as far as I'm concerned, she's a great news.
Well, Kenneth gained an extra point then for speaking when the whistle went. He's still in the lead, but Derek and Peter are hot on his heels and Sheila's trailing just a little. Peter Jones, will you begin the next round, please? Fool's Paradise. That is the subject that Ian has thought up for you, and will you talk about it for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I suppose it might be that when a jester dies and goes to heaven, then paradise for him would be an audience of people who are permanently in paroxysms and roaring with laughter, applauding, clapping, cheering, permanently and forever.
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Permanently.
Yes, you said it before, didn't you? 38 seconds on Fool's Paradise with you, Derek, starting now.
Well, of course, all the team of Just a Minute are living in a Fool's Paradise today because Clement Freud's away. We all imagine he's gone for good, but any moment he'll return and it'll be that great, dreary, gloomy, bearded, egg-ridden face looking at us.
Kenneth Williams, a chance.
Deviation, he's not great, dreary. He's a dear, loving friend of mine. A beloved of chums. and someone whom I adore to embrace and put my arm around and say, welcome back,
Derek. That's one of these things. When personalities come into it, I cannot be the final judge.
You know he's not a great dreer. You're going to sit there and be a great dreer? Is that what you're doing?
After some of the things he said to me, I'm quite prepared to say it, but I'm going to let the audience...
If you go on record as supporting that, you're in trouble.
We're all in trouble today. Shall I give it to Kenneth?
Yes. Yes.
All right, but Kenneth's in the lead. Shall I give it to Derek?
Yes.
We're playing the game in quite a different way today, aren't we? Kenneth Williams, Fool's Paradise, 24 seconds left, starting now.
Well, as Alexander Pope rightly put it,
not again.
Fly to altars, there they'll talk you dead. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And indeed, this is a fool's paradise where they do exactly that. And why? Because of an appalling and abysmal ignorance which no enlightened mind could...
You had the audience living in a fool's paradise then. But you hoodwinked them, kept going, and you weren't challenged. You gained a point for speaking the whistle went. You've increased your lead at the end of that round. And Derek Nimmo, will you begin the next round?
Yeah.
The subject is getting a little extra. Would you talk for 60 seconds on that, starting now?
Well, I always believe in going abroad, getting...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
No hesitation.
Yes, he was trying to bring in all the other subjects we'd had and fortunately failed, and Kenneth got in first. And there are 55 seconds on getting a little extra, Kenneth, starting now.
One of the ways I do this with an almost empty honey jar is to put it on its side and leave it for a bit, and in a few hours you find when you come back there is a little extra you didn't think was there, but there it is dripping down the side of the container in this rather lugubrious fashion, but even so, very pleasant, because put to your tongue, there's this incredible sweetness which the taste buds embrace, and thus, losing myself in almost oblivion of deliciousness, you say, oh, I had a little extra. I've also done it with a bottle of wine, by putting that upside down into a glass, and thus enabling myself to enjoy again, to savour something from, shall we say, the Moselle region, or, shall we say, fresh...
Peter Jones has challenged you.
Repetition, shall we say?
Yes, shall we say, yes. Peter, you have a point for a correct challenge. And 3 seconds left on... And with 3 seconds, you really are going to get a little extra, Peter, starting now.
A little extra is a very small crowd artist.
That remark
very
almost
good.
Deserves a bonus point.
It was worth the 3 seconds.
Yes, it was worth... Anyway, you got the point for speaking when the whistle went. We do actually have no more time, which is a great pity, because we've enjoyed ourselves. Audience, have you enjoyed yourselves?
Yeah.
I hope you'll come again. Sheila Hancock, this week you finished in fourth place. You were just beaten last time you were with us by Derek Nimmo. But you did very well, didn't you? We loved having you. We loved hearing from you. Peter Jones, you finished in third place. You made a sudden leap forward there. Only 1 point behind Derek Nimmo, who did terribly well. And was very generous, too, on one or two occasions. But none of you this week, none of you could touch Kenneth Williams, who was way out in the front, an undisputed champion, Kenneth Williams. Well, I think, listeners, you would say from the audience reaction, that is what you call a popular win. And we hope you've enjoyed the programme. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.